Well, please turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Kings. We're going to fast forward a little bit in redemptive history to the time of the divided kingdom of Israel and this prophet named Elisha. We're going to consider just the need for the Lord to open our eyes to understand who he is and his care for us, his presence, his providence, and his protection. This is a passage over the past several weeks, and the rather difficult providences that we've faced. This passage has been on my mind a bit, and so this week I decided to just study it a bit more and seek to encourage the congregation and all of you and all of us, really, with this message. So please give your attention to the reading of God's word. This is about the 8th and 9th century BC, so a couple hundred years after David. And Elisha is ministering in the northern kingdom. And so there were wars with Syria and Assyria. And we really kind of jump in to that scene in verse 8. Once when the king of Syria was warring against Israel, he took counsel with his servants, saying, "At such and such a place shall be my camp." But the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are going down there." And the king of Israel sent to the place about which the man of God told him. Then he used to warn him, so that he saved himself there more than once or twice. And the mind of the king of Syria was greatly troubled because of this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me who of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "None, my lord, O king. But Elisha, the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." And he said, go and see where he is, that I may send and seize him." It was told him, "Behold, he is in Dothan." So he sent their horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" And he said, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And then Elisha prayed and said, "O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." And so the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And when the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Please strike this people with blindness." So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the prayer of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, "O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And so the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I strike them down? Shall I strike them down?" And he answered, "You shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and with your bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And so he prepared for them a great feast. And when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away. And they went to their master, and the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we seek your help. Open our eyes that we might understand your word and see your glory, the glory of Christ, and your presence and faithfulness to us that we read about in your word. Lord, please help us. And we need encouragement today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we've read through the Gospel of Mark, and we're basically two-thirds of the way, do you remember the Father's prayer in Mark? He came to Jesus, and Jesus promised to heal his son if only he believed in Jesus. And so, do you remember the Father's prayer? I believe, help my unbelief. Now, as we think about that prayer, that isn't a prayer for conversion. That was a prayer for stronger faith. It's the simple prayer, Lord, open my eyes. You see, our faith, it may be stronger or weaker at times. And sometimes we can have the strongest hope in Christ in our minds, but struggle to enjoy that hope in our hearts. And it's times like these that we need to pray, Lord, open my eyes. We've faced a remarkable season in the life of the church. We've experienced painful deaths, sicknesses, and accidents. And it goes beyond those health concerns. Some of us have experienced what seems like overwhelming trials and suffering in our lives. And in these times, our faith gets tested. But not in the way that should make us question the truth of the gospel. No, these circumstances test our faith to lead us to a greater understanding and trust in what we already have, in the presence and protection and provision of the living God, our God. Trials in life have a major effect on our faith at times. Trials in life, they come really like a shade that covers a window in our hearts to blind our faith. You know, like when the shades here are open, you can see the mountains and the Indian peaks behind us with lots of snow on them. But when the shades are down, you can't quite tell what is out there. And that's what trials do. They blind us. They hurt our vision, and they cause our faith to question the living God and his love for us. But whether the trial is there or not, God remains the same. And God doesn't change. And so what we need in every season of life is to pray, Lord, open my eyes. And we need to believe that he will answer that prayer with compassion and care and comfort. So this morning I want to consider this passage under three points. I want you to think about the crippling fear first, and that we find in the servant and in our lives, and then the caring Father, which really is the comfort for our fear, and then finally the comforting friend. And in that point, I want to consider how the Lord opens our eyes, the means that he uses to open our eyes. So let's begin with our first point, the crippling fear. Because the weight of life, it can really weaken our faith. The passage focuses on a crippling fear in verse 15. It was the fear of Elisha's servant. He was really the one, the character, the person in this part of history and God's working with his people that draws us to ask the questions so that we might be ready to see what God is going to reveal to us in his acts. Now, Elisha, this servant served Elisha, and Elisha was a prophet of God during a real difficult time in Israel where the northern kingdom was fighting with Syria. And we find here that the king of Assyria, this king of Syria, S-Y-R-I-A, attacked Israel repeatedly. But each time they survived those attacks, not by their own wisdom, but because of the Lord. Each time the Lord revealed to Elijah the plans of the king so that Elisha could protect the king of Israel and say, no, your enemies are camping here, so you go to another place. But then one day, it got worse. One day Elisha's servant woke up, went up on the wall of the city and looked outside the city to see a terrible sight. The king of Assyria had come for Elisha and had come with all his forces. And he surrounded the city so that there was no escape and that there was no hope of defense for Elisha or anyone else in the city walls. Now, this is an odd position. It's kind of odd to see this servant so frightened, because he served a prophet of the living God. The passage right before this, in that passage, the prophets were building another place to live because where they were living, it was too small, and one of them dropped an axe in the water that he was using to build his house, and Elisha made the axe float, a piece of iron, iron float to the top of water, and that never happens. But the servant saw sign after sign and revelation after revelation. He was a prophet of God. He was a believer. He saw the Lord's power work in Elisha over and over again. But when he looked outside and saw this small city wall surrounded by the Syrian army, that sight challenged his faith. He said, and if I might make the translation a little more clearer, "Oh no, my master, what shall we do?" He's not saying, "Behold, what shall we do?" He's saying, "Oh no, we are dead men. What shall we do?" He had trusted the Lord's protection many times before, but this time, the Syrians had completely surrounded them. They hadn't evaded the Syrians. And he could not see beyond the army of Syria to the Lord of hosts. And so he became afraid for his life. He didn't know what to do. He was crippled with fear. Sometimes the weight of life can weaken our faith also. It doesn't mean that we're not believers in Christ necessarily. It just means that we need to grow. Trials and suffering, they will make us wonder if God can help us this time. And it's so funny how we act. We wonder if we're going to be able to do it this time, even though the Lord may have delivered us time after time after time. Yet in our human condition, in our finite vision, we wonder if at each trial, is God going to help us? Is God still there? When our enemies attack us, and it doesn't happen really with mostly with like armies and stuff, you know, the scene of Red Dawn with all the soldiers parachuting into the high school football field or whatever, that doesn't happen to us. But our enemies do attack us. Satan attacks us. Enemies in the world attack us. And when they attack us, we often cannot look beyond our fear to our Almighty God. Because fear, and the real fear of danger in this life, it makes us feel vulnerable. But that's not the only thing that cripples us. Grief also cripples us. Grief can overwhelm our souls with sorrow and hopelessness. And really, when grief sets in on your heart, it feels so lonely. It makes you feel like you're alone to deal with this pain and sorrow. And grief moves so deep within us sometimes that we cannot see outside of our own pain. The point is that the weight of life can become so heavy in our lives that we cannot see the goodness of the Lord, and we become blind to God's presence and protection and provision in our lives, even though the Lord never leaves us or forsakes us. And so this morning, are you crippled with fear or sorrow or grief or worry or anxiety? I mean, this is a normal experience in the Christian life as we grow in maturity to embrace the length and width and depth and height of the love of God in Christ. If you are crippled with fear, or you do grow crippled with fear and grief and sorrow and worry in the future, you need to know that the way forward is trusting that God is your caring Father. And that's what I want to consider next. You see, under the weight of life's pain and sorrow, we need God to open our eyes. And that's really a figurative way of saying, give us faith. Here, vision with our eyes really is a way of describing what we believe to be true. And so under the weight of life, we need God to open our eyes, the eyes of our faith, to see his presence, his protection, and his providence. And you see, when he does answer our prayer, Lord, open my eyes, he expands our faith to see through the cloud of suffering to his comfort and to his grace, and we can begin to find hope again. And actually, that's simply what happened in the life of Elisha's servant. See, the chariots of fire that he saw manifested the great care of God for his people. Elisha's servant needed to see that Elisha and he were not alone. They were not helpless before the irresistible Syrian forces. Elisha wasn't scared. He wasn't scared because his faith knew that the Lord was near. But his servant was doubting. His servant needed to grow. And so Elisha very compassionately said, "Do not be afraid. For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And here we find the Elisha leading his servant to where true hope is gained. Hope in times of fear, it doesn't come by simply thinking happy thoughts or just have a positive outlook. I can do this. I can make it through. That is not where hope is found. Hope returns to our hearts when we believe that the living God is with us to protect us and to provide for us. And so instead of appealing to some sort of positive thinking or just will to be happy and brave, Elisha appealed to the Lord. He prayed, "Oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see." And when the Lord answered, the servant saw the host of God. He looked out in every direction and he saw horses and chariots, but not just like the ones that were surrounding the city from Syria. But he saw horses and chariots of fire surrounding them. And this is a big deal. This was not the first time that Elisha had seen these chariots of fire before. They were the same chariots that took Elijah from earth to heaven, to the very presence of God. And so Elisha and his servant, when they saw this vision, they knew it was a vision of the Lord's presence with them and the Lord's power and the Lord's protection. And that vision calmed their souls. And then the Lord provided help to deliver them from the Syrians. He blinded the whole Syrian army so that Elijah could lead them into Syria. Now, I don't think that they were like walking around with canes and they're all holding, they're just a line of guys holding ultimately Elisha's elbow as he led them. I think what happened is the Lord blinded them to see what was really happening and to believe Elisha until he led them into the city walls of their enemy, defeated. The point is that the Lord defeated the Syrians by his sovereign power without spilling a drop of blood. And so what was the message for Elisha's servant? He had nothing to fear. He just needed to believe that the Lord of hosts was his living God. And we need to believe the same thing. We need to believe that the Lord is near and working and protecting us. We need the Lord to open our eyes to see that he is indeed our caring Father. You know, the Lord is just as near to us today as he was near to Elisha thousands of years ago. And so hope really has no different origin. Hope in times of trial and trouble and tears is near to us. But you must see the Lord's care to have that hope. You must believe that he's always present. You must believe that he's working in us. You must believe that he will protect us. basically, you must believe what the Bible reveals about God's care. Throughout the Bible, the scriptures teach us to lean upon our living God. And the Psalms are beautiful to teach us to believe that the Lord is near. I want you to just hear a couple Psalms. The first one is Psalm 27, verses 3 through 5. And listen how the imagery of what happened with Elisha and the chariots of fire and God's protection under really irresistible human forces, it comes alive in our faith, in our worship. Psalm 27, verses 3 through 5 says this, "Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent, and he will lift me high upon a rock." Psalm 91, 1 through 6, displays this beautiful picture of God's care as if he's a bird, an eagle. Listen to what David wrote there. "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler, and you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday." The Lord promises from the beginning to the end of the scriptures his help to those who love him. And he compares his protection to the comfort inside the wings of a mother eagle. And that's really the experience that we have when we rest in him. God's protection is like that. In Jesus Christ, no one can touch you. That's what he said himself in John 10. The Lord will protect you from danger. The Lord will provide the grace you need for each new day and even every terrible sorrow, just like a mother bird comes and feeds the babies, putting the food for the day even in their mouths because they're helpless. The Lord will be your helper. You see, hope comes when you see the true presence, protection, and provision of the Lord our God, who is our caring Father. But I want you to know here, as we've read these Psalms and considered how God describes his care in these concrete terms, and as we read the original context of that vision of the chariots of fire protecting Elisha and his servant from the Syrian army, that those chariots of fire, they were revealing a self-revelation of God, of something greater than this one-time protection. They were actually a revelation of the comfort we have in our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Because God doesn't ultimately promise that we won't be martyrs, that we won't lose our jobs for Christ, that we won't get sick, that we won't die in battle or be defeated. And that is not the ultimate promise. Those are ways that we can understand his ultimate spiritual care for us. And if you look through the history of the church, many believers have suffered and died since the beginning of human history. And so each of these promises of victory and each of these promises of provision ultimately represent the spiritual care of God. And so the chariots of fire, they really point to Christ, our living Savior. And you know what? We have a story of a Christian martyr in the Bible that shows the true spiritual fulfillment of this vision in Acts or in 2 Kings chapter 6. That martyr was Stephen. Stephen, the deacon who also preached the good news of Christ, because the Lord gave Stephen a vision of eternal hope as he died for his love of Christ. I'd like you to hear Acts chapter 7, verses 54 through 60. This is the account of what happened when Stephen wouldn't back down. He wouldn't shrink in fear away from declaring Christ and him crucified. In verse 54, we read, "Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he," that is Stephen, "was full of the Holy Spirit. He gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, 'Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God.' But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning Stephen, he cried out, 'Lord Jesus, receive my spirit.' And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, 'Lord, do not hold this sin against them.' And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Stephen received a vision to lift him up and strengthen his faith. He received that vision to comfort him as he was being stoned for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that Jesus, the Christ, had lived and died on the cross and been raised from the grave for the salvation of God's people. And what did God do to build up this man who was paying the ultimate cost of following Christ as a disciple? The Lord gave him a vision of Jesus, the Son of God, standing in heaven. He gave him a vision of the very hope that drove him to preach Christ in the face of martyrdom. And that vision confirmed his faith that Jesus lived in heaven and would receive him to himself. You see, saving faith believes that Christ has ascended to heaven after his death and after his resurrection. This faith believes that Jesus stands ministering on our behalf with his blood that paid the price God required for our salvation. So imagine as you begin to feel the stones beat against your body, seeing Christ, your Savior, standing in heaven. It's like feeling the warm embrace of your mother and your father when you're afraid. It's like feeling the wings of God cover you and protect you and say, "You will be with me." Our faith finds hope because Jesus lives as our Savior and Redeemer. Those stones would destroy Stephen that day, but Christ would deliver Stephen to heaven himself on that day as well. But I want you to notice the compassion of Stephen, because he really repeated, and maybe you might say even fulfilled in a sense, Elisha's actions. What was the second prayer? Well, the first prayer was when he saw that vision, "Lord, receive my spirit." The Lord opened Stephen's eyes to see with faith the shelter of Christ and the grace of God. And so he prayed for that deliverance, just like Elisha did. God doesn't always deliver us from temporal danger. He doesn't always rescue us from financial fear and trials, from sickness and injury. He doesn't always make things go the way we want. But he promises to deliver us from the sting of death and into his presence of glory. And that promise gives us hope in life and in death. That promise can calm our fears and our suffering souls, because our God is a caring Father. He does not leave us to perish alone, but he receives us, as he promised, into his tent, into heaven. He cares for us with his comforting arms. We find shelter under his wings. The Lord is our caring Father. And when we see his presence and protection and provision, we can again face the weight of life, but not with crippling fear or grief or anxiety, but we can face the weight of life with hope. And yet it isn't always so easy to see through the weight of life. Have you ever said, "Well, I believe, but help my unbelief"? Have you ever wondered how you can see the goodness and faithfulness of God? It's really true for you now. Have you ever said, "God, I know that you're good, but help me see right now under the pain, under this trial, that you are faithful and good"? It's not always easy to see through the weight of life. And so we need confidence that Jesus will open our eyes. And I want you to know that he uses three instruments to open our eyes so that we might see his presence and his providence and his protection, that we might be reminded of that and believe that he is living and reigning in heaven as the anchor of our souls, that his steadfast love and faithfulness endure forever. They're new every morning. So I'd like you to consider, as maybe you're in this situation or have been or know someone in this situation, I'd like you to consider the way that Christ uses to open our eyes so that you don't freak out when you ask those hard questioning questions or when someone else does, but instead you can help. You can be an instrument of Christ. You can embrace the means that Christ gives to give us hope again. And the first instrument is this: Christ reveals his care for us in the Scriptures. In the Scriptures. You know, if you go to Psalm 19, you find very quickly a summary of what the Word of God produces in our lives. This is what Psalm 19 says. It says that the Word of God revives the soul. It makes wise the simple. It rejoices the heart and enlightens the eyes. You see, God reveals himself to us in the Bible. That's why you get John 14 through 17, as Christ promises the Holy Spirit, he will send the Holy Spirit to the apostles so that they will proclaim the Word of God. He's giving the Holy Spirit to the apostles to be the means, the vehicle through which the Spirit inspires the Word of God so we might have it. And so that when you read the Scriptures, you would believe that you get the voice of God speaking to you about himself. You see, the promises of God and the description of God's grace and care in the Bible, they are as real as the vision God gave to Elisha's servant. In many ways, us trying to ask for some vision to show us the way today is a denial of what God has already given. It's a lack of faith, a gross lack of faith, because he has already spoken to us. And we have the canon of Scripture, of the Word of God, in our hands. And what we read about the experience of Elisha and his servant, what we read from the pen of the apostles under the inspiration of the Spirit is just as good as being there in Dothan and seeing the chariots of fire. Christ uses God's word to open our eyes to understand and see God's grace and glory in our lives. So when you begin to lose perspective and lose sight and your faith begins to struggle to believe God's goodness and care, you need to go to the Bible, because Christ reveals his care for us in the Scriptures. But there's another instrument that Christ uses. He also uses comforting friends to help us see his presence and protection and providence. And isn't that how the Lord used Elisha in this situation? He exhorted Elisha exhorted his servant, don't fear. And then he gave him a reason not to fear. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed and interceded that God would open his servant's eyes to see and no longer be afraid. And you see, God used Elisha's ministry, this fallible man who was a prophet, he used him powerfully as an instrument to help the servant. Now let's consider, why does God use the other people to help us see him? I mean, he gave us the word of God, so when we read it, we hear the voice of God. God reveals himself to us personally in the scriptures, but sometimes we just can't see ourselves. Even when we read the Bible, sometimes the weight of grief renders us helpless because suffering, it can overwhelm our faith so much that we get lost. The word of God may not seem to be true for us. We may say, well, this is who God is. This is what Christ has done for us. This is who the blessings that are applied to believers, but it doesn't seem like it's true for me. In suffering and sorrow, the mercy and the compassion of God can seem so distant. Reading the scriptures under the weight of fear and grief and anxiety, it's often like gazing through a glass window at the joy of all the children that are playing outside and enjoying the peace and the contentment of their parents' love. And as you scream from your cell, I want that too. The soundproof glass, it seems to block your cries for help because you just can't believe that God's grace is for you. But you see, when the Lord speaks to us through the saints, through a brother or sister in Christ, or through a pastor, the Lord reveals that his promises are true for you also. See, the Lord uses other people from outside of us to open our eyes so that we can see that there's no boundary between us and between the care of God. The Lord uses instruments, human instruments, people in our lives to objectively say, no, God, his steadfast love and faithfulness is for you as well. And the glass that confined you was only really the weight of suffering and fear that blinded your faith. David knew how much we need God to use other people to apply his truth to us, to open our eyes when we cannot see and believe that God would actually love us. In Psalm 34:11, he wrote, "O come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." As a prophet of God, David said, "I have lived and walked with God, and his promises are true. You need to listen to me." Just like Elisha said to his servant, do not be afraid. Listen to me. Those who are with us are more than those who are against us. The second instrument Christ uses to open our eyes is other people. He uses other people to declare that God's word and God's grace apply to you even when you cannot see it yourself. And so you need the church because God uses the church to open your eyes when you cannot see, when you cannot believe what you read really could apply to you or your situation. He works through the church. But sometimes what we face in life is so hard. It's so hard that our reading of the God's word, our hearing of it preached to God's people, our brothers and sisters, our friends, our loved ones that come around us and try to encourage us. Sometimes the word of God and the truth of God cannot penetrate our hearts because the weight of life has so blinded us. And so that's where we go to the third instrument, really the true instrument Christ uses to open our eyes. You see, the Lord uses his Holy Spirit to open our eyes through the word of God and through God's people. Without the Spirit of God, the Word, will be rendered useless without God's Spirit working through his people, speaking the Word objectively to us, it will have no effect on our lives. But Jesus gives us his Spirit to give us living faith, to believe that Christ indeed is living and active. It's the Holy Spirit, ultimately, as Paul writes, who convinces us that indeed we are children of God and heirs with Christ of eternal life. Even in the midst of the weight of crippling and overwhelming grief, it's the Holy Spirit that can say, don't go with the physical or emotional pain that you have now. Go with the promise of God. It's the Spirit of God that convinces our hearts that we're children of God. It's the Spirit of God that teaches us and makes us believe that we indeed can cry to God as our Father for help. And the Spirit teaches us to believe that he hears us. The Spirit, he convinces us and shows us that God is near us, because the Spirit of God is the third person of the living God. So you might feel like you cannot escape your grief and your fear, and you're correct, sort of. The Spirit, though, can do what you cannot do. He can give you faith to believe what is true about God's grace, and he can care for you who love Christ Jesus. He uses the Scriptures. He uses the church. And so don't give up on the means that Christ has given you. Instead, pray, Lord, open my eyes. Trust that Christ and the Father and the Son, from their throne in heaven, has sent the Spirit to work mightily to convince us that what he promises in his Word is true. And he does this because he's our caring Father. He gives us comforting friends to open our eyes. And the greatest friend is that paraclete, the Spirit of the living Christ. When you or I struggle to find hope under the weight of life, the Lord opens our eyes. The Lord comforts our souls. But I want you to know, this isn't just a message for believers. Think about Stephen's situation. Think about Elisha and the Syrian army. Do you remember Stephen's last prayer? Lord, do not hold this sin against them. I mean, how could he pray that these apostate Jews who hated the Messiah that was sent to them, who stoned him to death, how could he have compassion on them? It's because he saw Jesus, who died for sinners, reigning at God's right hand. This prayer of Stephen, it was an act of the compassion of God for sinners. See, the people of the world need eyes. They need their eyes open to the living God to see him. And so if you're not a believer today, you need to see Jesus today. Jesus, he lives as Savior or Judge. And so if you hear his voice today, answer his call to come to him and be saved from your sin to eternal life. Elisha represented God's grace for the sinners, for those who are outside of the church. As he showed kindness to the Syrian army, Jesus shows kindness to you with every good thing you enjoy in this life. Every good thing you enjoy is a sign of the care of your Creator. And so if you're here today, know that the Lord will encamp around you if you will turn to him in faith. Jesus will save you from your sin. He will give you eternal life with him if you will simply turn from your sin to his kindness and trust your soul to him. And so really the message here is for all of us to pray. Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. The message is to pray, Lord, open my eyes that I may find comfort in the shelter of your wings. Let's pray. Father, please do open our eyes that we might find shelter in the comfort of your wings. Open our eyes that through whatever you have for us to face today and tomorrow and the days that come, that we might know you are with us, that your Spirit might convince us that you indeed have adopted us by sovereign grace as your children, and that we can cry to you, our Heavenly Father, our caring Father, hear and answer. And Lord, as the weight of life blinds us, reveals the weakness of our faith, or even weakens our faith, open our eyes to your word and your Spirit. Use the preaching of the word, just the objective declaration to us of the gospel, that we might quit questioning, quit thinking that we are stronger than you, that no way, there's no way your goodness and grace could apply to me, a sinner, or could reach into the depths of this awful situation. We pray that your Spirit might indeed, in the depths of our sorrow, enlighten our eyes, that we might even say to ourselves, hope in God, so why are you cast down? I will praise you still, our Lord and our God. Lord, we pray for those who are here that may not know you, our children, visitors, even members of the church who have never truly embraced you and your sovereign grace. Lord, please manifest yourself to us and by your word and Spirit so clearly that we would find comfort in you, and cause your Spirit so effectually to reach out to lost sinners here and around us, that they might turn to you, knowing and seeing that their only hope, as is ours, is our resurrected Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray these things all in his name, trusting that you hear, because Jesus reigns at your right hand, interceding for us. Amen.